Yud Zayin Amid Beis 34, 17b1, 2, 4, 6, 7 lines in the top. The Gemara is going back to the Mishnah. The first few lines of the Gemara we learned last time, though. Hanazer Metzer Metumas Letara. The Mishnah was discussing at the beginning of the parak who can take a haircut. They basically cannot take a haircut Chol HaMoed, unless there are certain people that was impossible for them to take a haircut before Yom Tif, so they're allowed to take a haircut on Chol HaMoed. So the Gemara gave a number of examples. One example is Nazir and Mitzayra, a person who finished being a Nazir. So after, let's say, a regular Naziris is 30 days, so if the guy finished his Naziris in the middle of Chol HaMoed, so then he's allowed to take a haircut. Or HaMitzayra, a person who was a leper and he goes out of Tumat to Tahara, so because officially he couldn't take a haircut before, he's allowed to take a haircut Chol HaMoed. So Gemara says, Boy, Mine, Rabbi Yemi, Rabbi Zeira, Rabbi Yemi, asked the Shaila from Rabbi Zeira. When are they allowed to take a haircut? Is it B'Shalayhoi Elohim Penai, only when they did not have an opportunity before Yom Tov, meaning they became Tahar only on Yom Tov, so before Yom Tov it was impossible for them to take a haircut? Or Dilma, do we say no? Even if they had time before Yom Tov, they could still take a haircut. Meaning, what happens if they finished Erev Yom Tov? So technically, Erev Yom Tov, they would be allowed to take a haircut. So do we say, even then we allow them to take a haircut? Now, why should we? Because the din is, they need to bring a korban. And they can't bring a korban until they cut the hair. So if you're going to postpone hair cutting until after Yom Tov completely, so they're going to postpone the korban. So do we allow him or not? That was his question. Amalei, said Rabbi Zeira, answered, Rabbi Yemiya, Tanina, we learned it in a clear braisa. It says, Kol elisha amru mutar in the galach b'meid, all these cases that the Chachamim said in the Mishnah, you're allowed to take hair cut chol ha-meid, that's only kshela yuhoya lahem p'nai. When they didn't have an opportunity before Yom Tov to take a haircut, then we allow them to take a haircut. Aval hoyolam p'nai asurim. But if they did have, if they had time, for instance, one of the cases, a guy got out of jail. So if he got out of jail a day or two before Yom Tov, then he's not allowed to take a haircut during Chol HaMoed. But the Braisa continues and says, Nazir a mitzera, but a nazir and a mitzera. Afal b'shoyolahem p'nai, even though if they had time before Yom Tov, mutarim, they're allowed to. Why? Shulayashu karbanisim, not to delay the karbanis. Like we said, they cannot bring the karban until they cut the hair. So you don't want to push off bringing a karban, so we allow them. So Rabbi Zeira answered, we see clearly in the Braisa, that a nazir and a mitzera, even though they had time to take a haircut before Yom Tov, nevertheless, they can still do it on Chol HaMoed. But all the other people, with the exception of these two, if they were able to take a haircut before Yom Tov, they're not allowed to take a haircut Chol HaMoed. Okay, that's the end of the Gemara. Now the Gemara continues with a braisa about, also about haircuts, who can take and who cannot take. Tana, we learned in a braisa, HaKayin V'Ha'avol, a kayin, and we'll see exactly what the case of a kayin is. For oval, a kayin or an oval who cannot cut the hair before Yom Tov, because let's say a mourner had it during Shloshim, so you can't cut your hair during Shloshim. Or a kayin, the din is the week that a kayin works. The din is a kayin that worked that week in the Beis Hamikdash was not allowed to take a haircut that week. Why? Because we discussed this already a while ago. Because the Chachamim wanted The Chachamim, the Kohenim worked shifts, right? The Chachamim didn't want that a Kohen should come into the Beis Hamikdash with long hair. So they said, if you don't take a haircut before your shift, you're not allowed to take a haircut during your shift. That's what the Chachamim said. So it says, HaKayin V'Avol, Mutarim B'Geluach, HaKayin and an Avol are allowed to take a haircut during Chol HaMoed, if they weren't able to do it before. So the Gemara says like this, Hai Avol, Hechi Dami. In other words, the Gemara just wants to analyze what mourner are we talking about. Meaning, Ilei Meshachol Shmini, Shalei Be'erev Regal. It says in the Braisha like this, the Avol can take a haircut Chol HaMoed. Okay? Now, what's the case? If he finished the eighth day Meaning, Shiva was over before Yom Tif. Iboyle galuchim out of Yom Tif. He should have taken a haircut out of a Yom Tif. And the Gemara is going to explain this whole din about an oval when he could take a haircut. He should have taken a haircut out of Yom Tif. And if he didn't, then why could he take a haircut Chol HaMoed? 1 second. Ella, so we must say, Shchol Shmini Shalai, that the 8th day, meaning Shiva was over, B'Shabbos Erev HaRegel, that it fell out on Shabbos Erev Yom Tif. That means the only time he would be allowed to take a haircut would be Shabbos. Shabbos he can't take a haircut, then goes into Yom Tif, so he could take a haircut Chol HaMoed. Why? The Amr of Chista, Amr Ravina Bashila, because of Chista said, in the name of Ravina Bashila, Halacha ka Abashol, the Halacha is like Abashol. What does Abashol learn? Abashol holds, part of a day is like a full day. And this concept is a very important concept in the whole concept of mourning in Avelis, as we'll soon see. Abashol holds, part of the day is like a full day. Not only that, Meidim Chachamim LaAbashol, even the Chachamim agreed to Abashol, that Kshachol Shmini Shalei B'Shliyas B'Shabbos Erev HaRegel, when the 8th day falls out Shabbos Erev Yom Tif, Shemotah LaGaleach B'Erev Shabbos, he can cut his hair Erev Shabbos. Meaning like this. This is a needs to be discussed in from the halachic perspective. Shabbos does not cancel Shiva, but Shabbos is counted as one of the 7 days of Shiva. Okay, that we learned before. Yom Tif cancels Shiva. That means, God forbid, somebody passed away before Yom Tif, the funeral is before Yom Tif, 2 hours later is Yom Tif, Shiva is over. Yom Tif takes away Shiva. What? What do you mean, Sefer Chol HaMoed?
What?
No. If somebody dies Chol HaMoed.
Yeah.
No, that's because they don't start Shiva until after Yom Tif.
No, I stopped the main.
Okay. But if somebody passes away before Yom Tif, unlike Shabbos, that doesn't break Shiva. Yeah. You just don't sit Shiva on Shabbos and then you continue after Shabbos. Yom Tif takes away Shiva. Then there's another din. What happens if you finish Shiva? You have what's called Shleishim. Shleishim is a 30-day period from the funeral. Not from the death, from the funeral. Okay? So Shleishim, you count 30 days, which is not as strict as Shiva, but there's a lot of din. You can't take haircuts and things like that. Now, what happens if somebody stops Shiva Tuesday? Tuesday morning, they stop Shiva. And then, when Tuesday night is Yom Tif. The din is, Yom Tif takes away the Shloshim.
How are you?
Yom Tif takes away Shloshim. That's the halacha. Okay? So there's no Shloshim. In fact, you have an interesting scenario. If somebody dies, let's say, between Rosh Hashanah, 2 days before Yom Kippur. Let's say. So Yom Kippur takes away Shiva. Sukkot takes away Shleishim. That's it. That's providing, though, that Shiva was over before the Yom Tif. But what happens if Shiva ends at Yom Tif? I'll give you an example. What happens if somebody was supposed to get up from Shiva Tuesday morning? You're supposed to finish Shiva. Monday night's Yom Tif. So Yom Tif is only going to take away Shiva, not Shleishim. But if you got up from Shiva Tuesday morning, and Yom Tif is Tuesday night, so then Shiva is over, and now the Yom Tif takes away Shleishim. That is the halacha, which is a very practical, important halacha in today's world. What you mentioned is a different thing. That if, God forbid, somebody is buried on Chol HaMoed, so you don't start Shiva until after Yom Tif. Because you don't sit Shiva on Yom Tif. But Yom Tif doesn't take away Shiva because you didn't start Shiva yet. Yom Tif can only take away Shiva. If you started Shiva, then Yom Tif takes it away. But if you didn't start Shiva, Yom Tif can't take away something you didn't start. So if somebody was buried Chol HaMoed Sukkot, Chol HaMoed Pesach, let's say, they don't start sitting Shiva until Metzor Yom Tif, which is interesting. In Chutz La'aretz, where we have 2 days Yom Tif, the last day of Yom Tif, Simchas Torah, or the 8th day of Pesach, is counted as day one. Now, it's interesting. Even though it's Yom Tov, you're not sitting Shiva, but because it's only rabbinic that we add the additional day, so it's counted as day one. So you end up sitting 6 day shiv instead of 7 day shiv in that case. Now, Abishol holds, and this is a din that we all know, when somebody gets up from shiva, they get up in the morning. Like let's say somebody has to get up, the funeral was Tuesday, okay? So Monday morning, you get up from shiva. The question, why do you get up Monday morning? You're not sitting 7 full days. Because Abishol holds, and the Chachamim say, we pass on the halacha like Abishol, mix the sayayim kukuli. Part of the day is like a full day. So as long as you sat part of the day, meaning a half an hour in the morning, what, 5 minutes in the morning, doesn't matter, it's considered a whole day. If you sat shiva, the same way it works in reverse. If the funeral was late in the afternoon, and you sat shiva for 10 minutes before sundown, that's counted as day one. I only sat 10 minutes. The halacha is, part of the day is an entire day.
In what other instance would that apply? That part of the day would be all of the day? Do you mean any other instance?
Not so much, no. Cause only for the 5 days, not for the 7 days. You have the kind of mixes of yem kukulei is, I just thought of it before you. A kid's birthday, as soon as part of the day enters, he automatically becomes bar mitzvah. Right? If your kid's birthday is today, it's your Dalet Kislev, yeah? If your kid's birthday is your Dalet Kislev, he said you have to be 13 in one day. To be bar mitzvah, you need to be 13 in one day. But Yud Gimel finishes your year. Your dalet is not a full day yet. Why can you be part of a mitzvah, part of a minyan, your dalet already? The answer is because part of the day is a full day. Well, you have it in a number of halachic cases where you have part of the day. We'll see by Shleishim also, by the 30-day period, part of the 30th day is considered like you've had the full day. Yeah, there are various different cases. Okay, so now the question is like this. If the guys, the Gemara is trying to figure out, it says an oval can take a haircut on Chol HaMoed. Okay? So he says, what's the scenario? If he was able to take a haircut before Yom Tov, then why is he allowed to take a haircut Chol HaMoed? Meaning, if he finished shiva before Yom Tov, why can't he take a haircut before Yom Tov? So we must say that speaking, he couldn't take a haircut. Why? Because shiva was over on Shabbos, right?
And Yom Tov is on Sunday.
So he had no time to take a haircut. So the Gemara says, but the problem is the halacha is a kabbashol. What does it mean abashol? Abashol holds shleishim begins on the 7th day. Right? So therefore, according to Abishol, it works like this. If part of the day is shiva, in the morning, on the 7th, right, like we said, you only sit shiva a little bit, then the shleishim begins right away. If Yom Tov is taking away shleishim, why couldn't he take a haircut out of Yom Tov? Because the Gemara is going to say, if shleishim ends at Yom Tov, you could take a haircut before Yom Tov already. So where do you have a case that an oval couldn't take a haircut before Yom Tov that you're allowing him to take now Chol HaMoed? If Shleishim ended before, if Shiva ended before Yom Tov, then Yom Tov takes away Shleishim. If Yom Tov takes away Shleishim, then he could take a haircut before Yom Tov. And if he didn't take a haircut before Yom Tov, why are you allowing him to take a haircut Chol HaMoed? Because we learned only a Nazir and a Metzeda who were able to take a haircut before Yom Tov are allowed to take haircut Chol HaMoed, nobody else. That's what the Mishnah said. The Mishnah said, or the Braisa that he quoted, I'm sorry, it was a Braisa, that the only people that are allowed to take a haircut Chol HaMoed are only people that couldn't do it before.
The jail.
Right, so they couldn't do it before. So then, but if a guy got out of jail a day or two before Yom Tov, the Gemara says he can't take a haircut Chol HaMoed because he should have taken one before. So what's the case of an oval? Just from a practical case, the Gemara says, where do you have a case of an oval that couldn't take a haircut Yom Tif before Yom Tif and take it in Chol HaMoed. So the Gemara says, it speaks like this. The not the eighth day was Shabbos, Erev Yom Tif. It's speaking, Shechol Shvi Shalei Liyes B'Shabbos Erev Eregel. Shiva ended Saturday morning, Erev Yom Tif. What does that mean? The funeral is Sunday. If the funeral was Sunday, when is Shiva over? Technically Shabbos morning. Right? Saturday night's Yom Tif. When do you expect him to take a haircut? He couldn't take a haircut Friday because it's in the middle of Shiva. Right? So, and Shabbos he can't take a haircut. Saturday night is already Yom Tif. So when could he take a haircut? So we say he could take it in Chol HaMoed. So this is what he says. Tana bro, the Tana of the Braisa that says he could take a haircut, says like this. He holds like Abba Shol that Amar Mixas Yom Kukuli, part of the day is like a whole day. And therefore he says like this. Yom Ashvi Eila Lekanu Lekan. That the seventh day, this is what Abba Shol holds according to this opinion. The seventh day, part of it is Shiva, part of it is Shleishim. Technically, he started Shleishim already. So Yom Tif takes away Shleishim. Because he started Shleishim. But, V'kiv and the Shabbos have a onusu, but since it fell out on Shabbos, he can't take a haircut, therefore he could take a haircut during Chol HaMoed. He could take a haircut Chol HaMoed. Why? Shiva ended Shabbos morning. Technically, if it wouldn't be Shabbos, according to Abba Shol, he would be allowed to take a haircut. Shabbos doesn't allow him to take a haircut, so therefore he could take a haircut Chol HaMoed, because Shleishim was cancelled. Okay, but Tana Didan Amre Savila Kerabonin. One second. Our Tana holds Le'aminin and Mixas Ayem Kukuli. We don't say part of the day goes both ways for Shiva and Shleishim. Therefore, Avelis is not over until the end of the day, until the end of Shabbos. Therefore, Shiva, Shleishim never began. So if Shleishim never began, he can't take a haircut Chol HaMoed. Because Shleishim was not removed. Meaning like this, it's a very simple concept, argument basically. The scenario is, the funeral was Sunday. Okay? The guy gets up from Shiva Shabbos morning. Correct? Now Abba Shol holds, part of the day, Mixas Ayem Kukuli. But Abba Shol takes it a step further. In the morning, you finish Shiva, and now you began Shleishim. You know, you're not even starting Shleishim from a full day. You're starting middle of the day, you're starting Shleishim. Okay? Now, technically, once you start Shleishim, Yom Tov cancels Shleishim. Like we said, if you started Shleishim, Yom Tov cancels Shleishim. If you started Shiva, Yom Tov cancels Shiva. Shiva was over Shabbos morning. According to Abba Shol, of the Tan of the Braisa, the way he learns Abba Shol, Shleishim began Shabbos afternoon. Once Shleishim begins, Yom Tov takes it off. So technically, he would be allowed to take a haircut Shabbos afternoon. Why can't he? Because it's Shabbos. It's Shabbos, you're not allowed to take a haircut. So therefore, what's the case? Chol HaMoed, he could take a haircut. That's what the Tana of the Braisa says. Our Tana says you can't. Our Mishnah says you can't take a haircut in such a case. Why not? Because our Tana maintains you don't say partial day is a full day. Therefore, when does Shiva end? When Shabbos is ending. The second Shabbos ends, Yom Tov begins. You never began Shleishim yet. If you never began Shleishim, Yom Tov doesn't take away Shleishim. So if Yom Tov didn't take away Shleishim, in middle of Shleishim, which is Chol HaMoed, you can't cut your hair. You can't cut your hair in middle of Shleishim.
So
So Shlushim is the days after the seventh day?
Right.
Between 7th and 30?
Right. Shloshim literally means 30. 30 days. No, this is not such a common case.
So what's the story about Cohen?
Huh?
Cohen.
Oh, Cohen, we don't know yet. That's the next piece of Gemara. Gemara is going to discuss what's the case of the Cohen. First, Gemara is trying to figure out what's the case of an oval. Because Gemara said before, in a Brais it says Cohen in an oval could take a haircut chol hamoed. In our Mishnah it says he can't. So they're trying to figure out what's the case where there's an argument between our Mishnah and the Gemara and the Brais. So the Gemara says the only case possible is when Shiva ends on Shabbos and Shlesh and Yom Tov starts Saturday night. So the question is basically, did Shleshim begin or not? If Shleshim began, then you can take a haircut chol hamoed. If it didn't begin, it can't. Okay. Now the Gemara says, "Hi kohen hechi dami." What's the case of a kohen that we say a kohen could take a haircut chol hamoed? I mean, what do you have a kohen that he couldn't take a haircut before? Now he could take a haircut chol hamoed. So the Gemara says, "What's the case?" You have it's like 15 lines in the bottom. Hi, Kain, hey, Chidami, what's the case of a Kain? So Gemara says like this. Ilei medishle mishmarte erev eregel, if he finished his shift, erev yomtif. So the Gemara says, Iboilei legluchi erev yaregel, then he should have taken a haircut erev yomtif. So then, what do you mean he could take a haircut cholamait? If he could take a haircut before cholamait, well, how could he take a haircut during cholamait? Elei tzichet speaking, that the case is, the shlim mishmarte beregel. That his shift was over on regel. Now, meaning like this. Every kohen has a week's shift. We learned. David and Shmuel, or Shmuel and David, divided the kohenim and Levim into 24 families. Each family worked a week. Okay? So they end up to working twice a year, which is 48 weeks. And then you have the Yom Tov time. So then we're learning in the Gemara, everybody worked then.
Well, that many
Levium
families, only three of them,
weren't
there? When they first marched into
the way. They're more Levium, the Kayanim. Because Kayanim is only Aaron, they're Levium, the whole tribe. Okay. Now, the din was, a Kayan, while he worked in the week of his shift we discussed before, is not allowed to take a haircut on his shift. Why? It's similar to what we learned before in the Mishnah. You can't take a haircut chol hamoed. Why did the Chacham say you can't take a haircut chol hamoed? Because they didn't want people going into Yom Tov with long hair. Because chol hamoed, like we learned in the Mishnah, people didn't work. If people didn't work, they had a lot of free time. So what people used to do, they would say, you know what, I'm so busy out of Yom Tov, who has time to take a haircut? You know, chol hamoed, we have plenty of time, I'll go take a haircut. So Chacham said, basically you're going into Yom Tov with long hair, it ain't going to happen. No haircut there of Yom Tov, you're not taking a haircut chol hamoed. The same thing with the Kainim and the shifts. The Chachamim said, the Kainim worked in the Beis HaMikdash, they had to look handsome. They needed a haircut. You didn't want to take a haircut before your shift. Forget it, you're not taking it during the shift. Okay? So the Gemara says, the Mishnah, the Braisa says, there's a case where a Kain who finishes shifts could take a haircut chol hamoed. That's what the Braisa says. So the Gemara says, what's the case? If the case is that he finished his shift out of Yom Tov, so then out of Yom Tov he could have taken a haircut. Why didn't he? And if he didn't, even though he could have, why is he allowed to take a haircut chol hamoed? Therefore we must say that the shift finished on Yom Tov. So during the shift, he wasn't allowed to take a haircut. Now the shift is over, but it's Yom Tov. So he can't take a haircut. So therefore we allow him to take chol hamoed. That's the way the Gemara is learning. So Gemara says, Yitzchak is speaking, the shlim mishmarta beregel. His shift finished on Yom Tov. So the Gemara says like this, Tana didon savar. Our Tana holds like this. Kiv and the Tana, it says in the Mishnah, B'shlei sheprakim bashana, 3 times a year, ha'yikol ha'mishmer shavis, all the shifts were equal. When were they? Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos. Because then you need a lot of kayanim and levium to work, you know, the heavy, heavy load. What were they equal for? Be'muri aragolim, they were shared the limbs, the organs of the korbanos of the yomtiv, and lechem abanim, and dividing the showbread that each, you know, the shifts got. So he says, so therefore, command aleishalim mishmarto beregel dami. Therefore, it was considered as if the shift didn't finish until Yom Tov. Right? So therefore, they couldn't take a haircut until after Yom Tov. That's what our Tana holds. But Tana Brabat, the Tana of the Brais, who says you are allowed to, they hold. Even though he is connected to the everybody else's shift, mishmarta miyashlimali, his shift finished. Meaning the argument is a different argument completely. When your shift goes into a communal shift, that's what happened. Your shift finished Yom Tov. Now you join everybody else's shift. The question is that called your shift or not? Our Tanit in our Mishnah says a Kohen cannot take a haircut Chol HaMoed, regardless. That means, even though the shift finished on Yom Tov, and now he's going into a second shift, you can't take a haircut. Why? It's one shift. And during your shift, you're not allowed to take a haircut. So when can you take a haircut? After Yom Tov, you can't take it Chol HaMoed, you're still in the middle of your shift. In the middle of your shift, you're not allowed to take a haircut. The Tan of the Braisa that says, a Kohen who finishes the shift could take a haircut. Why does he hold you to can take a haircut? He says, your shift finished. Now you joined a communal shift. That's not your shift. During your shift, you cannot take a haircut. During the communal shift, you could take a haircut. So he holds, before Yom Tov, you couldn't take a haircut because it was your shift. Now, your shift is over. It's Chol HaMoed. You could take a haircut. Are you still working? It's not your shift. It's everybody's shift.
What is it? They go out at night and take a haircut? Or not during the day? They're working during the day.
When? I mean, Yom Tov.
Yeah.
If they had a spare time. They didn't work 24 hours, you know, the whole day.
Everybody
they had a lunch break, tea break, smoking break.
So many korbanos that
have. Listen, they can't expect you need a break, you know?
How hard work you do it in the Beis Hamikdash.
There's a lot of work there. Okay, that's the end of this Gemara. So the Gemara just explained what the Braisa said, unlike our Mishnah, that holds a Kohen and a Novel cannot take haircuts. The Braisa says a Kohen and a Novel could take haircuts. And the Gemara said the case of Ovel is that the seventh day was Shabbos, out of Yom Tov, and therefore he couldn't take it then, and he couldn't take it on Yom Tov, so he could take Chol HaMoed. That's what the Braisa holds. Our Tana holds, Shleishim never began, so Yom Tov can't take away Shleishim, so you still can't take a haircut. And the same thing with the Kohen, the shift finished in the middle of Yom Tov, and therefore the Braisa says, you could take a haircut because your shift is over, even though you're working, and the Our Tana says you can, because your shift is a continuous shift until after Yom Tov. And after Yom Tov, you can take a haircut. Okay, now the Gemara says like this. Tan Rabbanan learnt. Kol Elo Sha'amru. Every case that the Chachamim said. Mutarin Legalach B'Meid. You can take a haircut during Yom Tov. Mutarin Legalach B'Mei Avlam. They could take a haircut during the time that they were in Oval. Meaning like this. Anytime you could take a haircut Chol HaMoed, you could take a haircut while in mourning as well. And the Gemara is going to explain what this means. What do you mean in mourning? Okay? So meaning like this. The way Rashi explains it is, if, the way the Gemara is learning now, if a guy got out of jail in the middle of Chol HaMoed, he could take a haircut. If a guy got out of jail in the middle of Shiva, he could take a haircut. Either, both, either one. In other words, if a guy was in jail, and his father died, and he was in the middle of Shiva, and they let him out of jail, the Braisa says you could take a haircut.
So is that end of Shiva, or?
No, middle of Shiva.
But it's still in Shiva?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even the last day of Shiva.
Middle of that, doesn't matter. So Gemara right away says, one time, Tanya Surin, but in another Braisa says you're not allowed to. This Braisa says you're allowed to. And another Braisa says you can't. So like,
contradictory.
Amar Rav Chista, Amar Rav Shila. It says like this. Kitanya hoch mutarin. When does it say that you're allowed to? Is speaking shetakfu avolav. When one relative died right after another. Now this is b'chol. I mean, it happens, but it's not very common. A guy is in the middle of Shiva for one parent, and the next parent dies. Or a guy's in the middle of Shiva for a brother, and the parent or a sister, whatever, you know.
My grandparents died one after the other in the same week.
Yeah, it happens. Mm-hmm. It happens. You know where he lied in Steingedacht? You have this. The people are in an accident. So some people get killed right away, and some people hang on for a few days. You know, and then you end up having an extended Shiva. So over there, the Gemara answers like this. If it's a very long Avelus, because it's a double header, then we allow him to take a haircut. In other words, one Braisa says he could take a haircut in the middle of Shiva, one Braisa says not. So it says, the Braisa that says you're allowed to is speaking when it's a double header of Avelus, so therefore it's a very long period of time you're allowed to. The Braisa says you're not allowed to, speaking a normal case, that when it says a guy got out of jail, middle of Shiva, the halacha says wait until after Shiva. Ushleish. So the Gemara says, Iksha takva avelev. So the Gemara says, but the halacha is, if it's an extended avelus, everybody could take a haircut. He says, my irikole shomeris, why are you saying dafka guy that got out of jail? Or a guy that came from overseas or whatever. Afilu kula almenam, everybody's allowed to take a haircut. Why? The Tanya says clearly in a braisa, takfu avolev zachezeh, if his mourning periods occurred in succession. One after another, hich b'tzarei, or then his hair becomes very burdensome, make a b'tzar, he can lighten it with a razor. Not the payas, but the rest of the hair, whatever. And we'll see why it says razor. Or mechabes k'susibamayim, he can wash his clothing in water. So the Gemara asks, if you're speaking it's a double header, then everybody could take a haircut. Why are you saying only the guys that were in jail or overseas or something like that? Every person could take a haircut, it says. So it says, but there's a difference. Because Amr of Chista says, Bitar v'lei b'misparim. Misparayim. Yeah, right. V'lei b'misparayim. You could take a haircut with a razor, not with a scissors. Meaning, you could take a haircut not in the normal fashion. That's the difference.
Shinoi.
With a shinoi. Now, normally, you don't cut hair with a razor. You cut hair with a scissors. Didn't have machines in those days. You could cut hair with scissors. So the din is, if you in the normal way, you can't taka cut your hair. So it says, these people that come from overseas, they can cut their hair the normal way, with the scissors. The braisa that says, you could have to do it with a razor, is speaking that if you didn't come overseas, it was just a double header avelus, so then you can cut your hair with a razor, but not with anything else. B'mayim, and the same thing he says, you can wash your clothing in water, but not with neser oiba oil, which is like soap and things like that, you know, with the rubbing stone and the soap. So that's how the Gemara answers this. Amar Rav Chista says, Zeisa Merson, this braisa, you see, that Avel asiv b'tach basis, that an Avel is not allowed to wash his clothing in water. Even though the Gemara says we learned it out from before, but it means over here, he can't even wash him in cold water. And the only time you can wash your clothes in cold water is if you have a succession of mourning, double-headed mourning. Because what does the Braisa say? That if it's a double mourning period, then you can wash it in cold water.
That's
a lot. Yeah. What happens though if not? Then you can't wash your clothes even in cold water. Hot water we learned before from a pasuk. But now the Gemara is saying even cold water you can't. you see from the Brais. Now, we're going to soon see in the Gemara, it's an interesting thing. Not, the Gemara doesn't discuss, but Halacha, one second, Halacha discusses that there is, for all other relatives, besides parents, and this is important to know, I mean, nobody should know of it, but you have to know anyway. The whole concept of no haircuts, shleishim, applies only to everybody else but parents.
What? No haircuts applies to everybody else except the parents?
No, by parents it's longer than shleishim. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, right.
In other words, we learned before like this. For all relatives, except father and mother, the mourning period is only 30 days. Okay? Even, God forbid, if somebody loses a child, the whole mourning period is 30 days. Person loses a spouse, the mourning period is 30 days and that's it.
Kaddish
has nothing to do with Avelis. Kaddish is to help the deceased, you know, go up in Gan Eden and to be saved from Gehenna or whatever. But if somebody's, let's say, God forbid, somebody's wife passes away, so the Avelis is 30 days, that's it. After 30 days, you can go to weddings, you can dance, you can listen to music, you can do everything. What? That's the halacha. It's only 30 days. The only ones that have Avelis, one second, the only ones that have Avelis for a year is, God forbid, you lose a parent. Now, if somebody loses any other relative for 30 days, the Gemara says he can't take a haircut. After Shleishim, you could take a haircut. For parents, it's much longer than Shleishim to take a haircut. Even though a lot of people today are lenient after 30 days, but if you take halacha as is, halacha says after a parent passes away, you can't take a haircut two times. It basically comes out to be the same. Either at sheyigur bechaveri, until your friend screams at you that your hair is too long.
Mm.
In other words, they scream at you already, hey, your hair is too long, it's making everybody sick. Or 3 months. Which itself is two opinions. 3 months from your last haircut, or 3 months from the time of the mourning. Like, for instance, in our circles, we're machmir, that if a person loses a parent, you don't take a haircut for 3 months from the time of death. 3 months you don't take a time of a haircut. Okay? But for all other parents, when the Gemara speaks about Shleishim, you can take a haircut and all that, basically we're speaking about for everybody else but parents. Now, what you find that people will shave, you know, not shave for 30 days. After 30 days, they'll shave. That's, they're lenient, so to speak, because they need it, parnasa, whatever it may be. But haircutting, technically, according to Allah, is not 30 days, it's 3 months. Or until your friend screams at you.
Even for the honor of a holiday, they wouldn't?
Yeah. Kindness. Yeah. And therefore, they have a lot of times problems, because if you think about it, what happens if somebody passes away before Pesach, 2 3/4 months? So they don't take care of it before Pesach, then they have to wait until after Shavuos. So you're talking an extended period of time. So then it depends sometimes if they really need to get a head to that somebody screams at them, and you know, whatever it is.
If it's right before Pesach, it's good, because anyway they don't take a haircut.
Yeah, but that's only 2 months. Less than 2 months.
Okay, so you have one more month.
Good. What
okay. If they passed away right before Shavuos, and they have to wait another 3 months?
Yeah. Okay, I mean, whatever it comes out. Okay. Now the Gemara says like this. Tan Rabbanan. Kshem sha'amru asru chacham megaleich b'meid. This is another din. The Gemara says, this is not about the Avelis, by the way. It says, just, I said because of coming up dinim. Kshem sha'as amru asa legaleich b'meid, just like you're not allowed to cut your hair during chol ha'meid, kach asa litl tzipanayim b'meid. You can't cut your nails on chol ha'meid. And as you can't take a haircut, and you can't cut your nails. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. That's what Rabbi Yehuda holds. You can't cut your hair, you can't cut your nails. Rabbi Yaisi matir. Rabbi Yaisi holds you could cut nails on Chol HaMoed. Okay, in other words, about here everybody agrees. You can. We learn that from a pasuk. But cutting nails, so Rabbi Yehuda says you cannot cut your nails just like you can't cut your hair. Rabbi Yaisi says you can cut your nails. So the Gemara says, "Ukshem shamro avil asa legalech bimei avlay," and just like an avil cannot cut his hair during the period of mourning, kach asa litul tzepernaim bimei avlay. The same thing, you cannot cut your nails during the mourning period. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda that Rabbi Yehuda holds. Okay, meaning just like you can't take a haircut for 30 days, you can't cut your nails for 30 days.
Also 3 months?
No. 30 days. No. Rabbi Yehuda is again holds you allowed to cut your nails. So you have two machlekes about the nails. Rabbi Yehuda holds nails and hair are the same thing. You can't cut your hair chalameid. You can't cut your nails chalameid. You can't cut your hair during avelus. You can't cut your nails during avelus. That's what Rabbi Yehuda holds. Rabbi Yehuda holds in both cases you can cut your nails. So now the Gemara says, "Amir Ula Halacha Kedivrei Rabbi Yehuda Ba'Avol." The Halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda by Avelus that you cannot cut your nails, but Halacha Rabbi Yosi B'Meir, but by Chalamed the Halacha is like Rabbi Yosi that you could cut your nails. So Ula differentiates between Chalamed and Avelus. Avelus is strict; you cannot cut your nails. Chalamed he's leaning that you could cut your nails. So the Gemara says, "Shmuel Amar." Halacha k'rabyesi b'meir uba'ovel. The halacha is a k'rabyesi in both cases, by avelis and by meir. Meaning, in both cases, you're allowed to cut your nails, both by avelis and by cholameid. Why? D'amar Shmuel, because Shmuel says, halacha k'divri ameiku b'ovel. Shmuel holds, and this is what the Gemara is implying, that Shmuel never said this din about cutting nails. But Shmuel says the halacha is like the lenient opinion in Avelis. Whenever there's an argument in the laws of mourning, strict or lenient, Shmuel says you always go by the lenient opinion. Mm-hmm. So therefore, if there's an opinion that says you can cut your nails during Avelis, Rabbi Yosi, so Shmuel says the halacha is like Rabbi Yosi. Not only Cholameid, but even during Avelis.
He was saying it's a merit for the deceased.
The Rebbe said to some, the Rebbe said, when the Rebbe went to be Menachem Avil, his brother-in-law, the Rebbe said that halacha k'divrei ameikel be Avelis, and when you're meikel, when you're lenient in the laws of mourning, they're lenient in heaven for the deceased.
Wow.
And the person asked the Rebbe, what's the source? And it was sourceless. And basically, the Rebbe was the source.
Lenient, good. Not lenient.
Lenient in a positive way, yeah.
So if you're lenient in your mourning, really? If you're lenient in the
not going against halacha. I'm saying when there's different opinions. And you could be machmer, you could be meikel. So another dinim of the Torah is good to be machmer. Mm-hmm. In avelis, it's good to be meikel. Oh. Because it's, and the Rebbe says, the bezdin in heaven is more lenient towards the deceased.
You would think the opposite.
You think the opposite.
Why?
Because if you're lenient down here, you think that they would be more
out of respect and this and that.
Right.
You're doing it for
But that's why. The whole concept of Avelis is not for the deceased. The Rebbe explained this also. Mm-hmm. At the same time, by the way. The Rebbe's brother-in-law asked him, if everything is Eshkocha Pratis, and the Jews are supposed to accept everything God does for with Simcha, right, so to speak. So the Gemara said, "Shem mevarch malatayv kach mevarch malorav," to do with simcha. So he asked the Rebbe, "What's the whole concept of mourning? Mourning seemingly is against halacha because you're supposed to accept what Hashem does with simcha. I mean, you should go dancing, but you know it's." So the Rebbe answered, "Avelis is not for the deceased. The mourning period has nothing to do with the deceased. It's for the people staying alive." That a person should realize that just like this relative passed away, one day we're also going to pass away, so we might as well shape up before we ship out, like they say. So the concept of Avelis is a wake-up call, not for the deceased. It's for the one that's staying alive. That remember that you're not going to live forever, so you better shape up. Mm-hmm. So it's nothing to do.
So the prices of shaping up should be good for the deceased. That somebody down here that he left behind is shaping up for.
It's their benefit too.
Sure, yeah.
The Gemara's desire says, "Bra mizakavur." The child could do a lot of schosim for the father. You learn Mishnah, you give tzedakah. I mean, whatever you do, le'ili nishma somebody is a merit for the person of the deceased. Sure. Mm-hmm. Then the Gemara says like this. This was. Sometimes you think this, the rabbis and the Gemara were pretty sharp. Pinchas achud amar Shmuel, Pinchas, the brother of Shmuel, Isre ben Milsa, meaning something happened to him. In simple English, it means a relative of his died. All Shmuel and Mishmuel tamimine. So Shmuel, his brother, went to be Menachem Avol, his brother. Pinchas was sitting Shiva, so Shmuel came to be Menachem Avol, his brother Pinchas. Chazin elatuf for the daven efishin. So Shmuel saw that Pinchas' nails were very long. Amalei, so Shmuel says to his brother, Amayla shokaltaluhu, why didn't you cut your nails? Amalei, he said to him, Ibididi ave, if it would have happened to you, in other words, he said to Shmuel, if you would be sitting Shiva, Mizalta be, Kulai, would you also cut your nails? In other words, you're telling me to be lenient. Let me ask you a question. If you were sitting Shiva, would you be lenient? So what happened? Kishkaga Shayatim Lefnei Ashalit. It says in the Gemara, it's a quote to Pasik, that Pinchas' remarks was like an error proceeding from a ruler. Shlomo Melech says, meaning that if a king makes a mistake to exile somebody, they still get exiled. Mm-hmm. So what happened? So Shmuel ended up sitting Shiva.
Oh, God.
You know, Pinchas, even though he didn't curse him, but it was like a curse. He said to him, if you would be sitting Shiva, would you be lenient also? So what happened? All Pinchas said, so now Pinchas went to Shmuel to be Menachem Avol. Right? Shakil na latufre chavetina la'api. So Shmuel took the nails, his nails that he cut, and threw it at him. Amalei, he said to Shmuel said to Pinchas, Lester bris kruzen les v'sayim. Don't you know that God made a covenant with lips that what comes out of your mouth has an effect? You know, Shmuel was so angry at him, he took his nails and he threw it at him. He said, because of you, I'm sitting Shiva today. The Amr Rabbi Yechanan, because Rabbi Yechanan said, Minayin Shabris Krusalis Vasayim, how do we know that Hashem has made a covenant with lips? You know, that it works. Shenema Vayemer Avram al Na'arav. Avram said to his servants, Shvulach and Peyam Machamer, we stay here with the donkeys. Vani Vana Nelcha Kaimi and Yitzchak, no, by the Akeda. Vinishtach Vinishuv Aleichem. And we're going to come back to you. Really, he shouldn't have said that because Yitzchok was supposed to be brought up as a korban. Nevertheless, it's time milsa dahar de tarvah. Yet they both returned. So you see from here that Avram Avinu said something. It became, it happened. So Taisis asked the question. Tema, the top Taisis, Taisis says dama mida teva meruba. Over there was good, not bad. Maybe good things happen. How do you know bad things happen from the mouth?
Avraham didn't know anything prophecy.
No, he didn't know. He said he didn't know what he... how can he say? He was supposed to bring Yitzchak as a korban.
But why would he say return them?
No, so Taisa says... The Gemara... Taisa remains my question. Taisa said, the Gemara could have brought a different Gemara that says, Ayiftach adam piv l'satan. There's an expression, don't open your mouth to the Satan, because in the Satan, and they quote it, Pasik, Devar Hashem Ketzine Yisdaim. So it says, you're not supposed to open up your mouth to the Satan, which is also, so why, Taisa says, why are you bringing a Pasik to prove that the power of the mouth from something good? Good is better than bad. How do you know when you speak bad, it has its effect? And over here it was bad. He said, oh, if you would be sitting Shiva. That Taisa remains the right question. But the bottom line is, the fact is, there's a covenant God made with the mouth. It's interesting. It's brought on the Sfarim, Chassidish Sfarim, that tzaddikim accept Lashon Hara when they're told it. In other words, even though, nevertheless, if somebody tells Lashon Hara to a tzaddik about another Jew, they accept it.
What do you mean?
They don't say Lashon Hara. It has its effect on the tzaddik's relationship with the person.
Really?
Well, that's, I know exactly what it means, but that's.
You're supposed to accept it as the absolute truth.
Lashon Hara means it's true.
No, but you still have to doubt it.
King David saying it's not him cursing me, it's
God. Okay, but the bottom line is the person was.
Yeah, many people who distort the pratim and from
say. That's not lashon hara. That's mitzi shem. I'm talking about lashon hara. Anyway, let's try. One second. So Gemara says like this. So Shmuel basically, bottom line of this whole Gemara though, just in practical halacha, Shmuel paskind, you can cut your nails on Yom Tov and during Shiva. Because Shmuel said to his brother, why don't you cut your nails? Right? And Shmuel said, halacha zek Rabbi Yosi, that you can cut your nails during Shiva and during Chol HaMoed. So the Gemara says, Sava minei, the Gemara thought, the yod ein, the regoloi, that you can only cut your fingernails, not your toenails. That's what they thought. So he says, Rav Anan bar Tachlifa, ledidi mafashali shminei de Shmuel. It's not true. Shmuel himself clearly told me, leishna yad, veleishna regel, it doesn't matter. You can cut both. You can cut toenails and fingernails during Shiva. But the Gemara's not done yet. We're going to see later, the Gemara's going to say you can only bite them off. The Gemara says, Ahmed, Rav Chiya bar Ashi Amarav, but uveginustera aser. When you said you can cut your nails, not with the scissors. Meaning, you can only do it with biting them or using one nail to cut another nail. You can't do it in the normal way. And by the way, it's Taloch and Shechon Aruch. You can't cut your nails the normal way. Even for Shleishim, it says you're supposed to bite them off or whatever. You shouldn't cut them the normal way. Then the Gemara says like this. Gemara tells a story about cutting nails in Chol HaMoed. Amar Rav Shemin bar Abba, Ava Kamina, Kamer de Rabbi Yechon, Bein Medrash, B'Chol HaMoed. Rav Shemin bar Abba said, I was once in Rabbi Yechon's Beis Medrash on Chol HaMoed, V'Shakilna L'Tufrei, he cut his nails, B'Shina, with his teeth, V'Zarkina, and he threw them on the floor. Rabbi Yechon bit his nails in Chol HaMoed and threw them on the floor. Okay? In the Beis Medrash. So the Gemara says, Shema minot tlas. You learn out three dinim from the story. Number one, Shema minot miltoli tutsipanayim b'chol shemait. You're allowed to cut your nails or bite your nails and chol hamait. Shema minot, the second thing we learned, aim by mishim muyas, biting nails is not repulsive. Because the halacha is, you're not allowed to do anything repulsive in front of people. If Rabbi Yechon bit his nails in public, it's not repulsive.
It's not polite.
And the third thing is, mutter lazarkin, you can throw the nails on the floor. So the Gemara says, it's not true. In other words, okay, what are the three things? Number one, you can bite your nails, chalamayit. Number two, you can bite your nails. And thirdly, you can throw them on the floor. So the Gemara says, it's not true. For Tanya, we learned in a braise, shleisha dvarim damer b'tzipanayim, there's three things about nails. Hakevram, if you bury the nails, you're a tzaddik. Sarfon, if you burn the nails, you're a chassid. Zarkan, if you throw it on the floor, you're a rasha. So the Gemara says, how could a bechim throw the nails on the floor when the Gemara says you throw them on the floor, you're a rasha? Because a pregnant woman might walk over them and God forbid have a miscarriage. So the Gemara says, time am I. He said, my answer is like this. Why can you not throw your nails on the floor? Shemetavar alim isha ubra vatap. A woman, pregnant woman, might walk over the nails and have a miscarriage. But isha be medrash le shchicha. Women don't hang out in the shuls. Okay? There's two explanations. 19 of the Bani says it's interesting. What does a woman have to do with stepping on nails with a miscarriage? Either it's a spiritual thing, or it might, her revulsion at seeing them might cause her to get sick and miscarry. Mm-hmm. The real thing, the most accepted answer is it's a spiritual thing.
It's
an ass. Well, that's what the answer is. Anyway, so the Gemara asks, but how can you throw them in the base of Medrash? Maybe they'll clean up the nails, and then they'll throw them somewhere and the lady will walk over them there. So the Gemara says, that sometimes they'll gather nails on the floor. The shod will have it under, throw it outside, and then the lady will step on it. The Gemara says, no. Kiven the ishtane ishtane. Once they change the location, they're not dangerous. Meaning nails are only dangerous for a pregnant woman if she walks on them at the place where they're cut. But if you sweep them and throw them out, then it's not a problem with a pregnant woman. So therefore, halacha is, you're allowed to bite your nails in a basement, not in Shabbos Yom Tov. But Chol HaMoed, you can bite your nails in a basement and throw them on the floor.
This opinion is only spiritual and not repulsive.
Correct.
So
One second, a person could actually cut the nails and take a broom, sweep them to just...
You know where you have a big problem, by the way, and I get this, Shaila, a lot of times? Mm-hmm. If a woman wants to go for a manicure, pedicure,
yeah,
and she's pregnant.
Right.
And in the stores, there's nails all over the place.
What
do they do? So they don't go.
And women would actually
they don't go unless, unless if they ask them to sweep it off to the side.
Wow.
What should they do?
Well,
what?
Women would actually ask that question?
Yeah. Yeah. Some people ask religious. They ask questions.
You can just take off your shoes and then.
It doesn't have to be a Jewish thing.
Yeah.
Anyone?
No, the Gemara asked a question on the Biechen's nails.
I understand, but when you say somebody would go to the hair salon, even though they're not Jewish,
as a home business.
First of all, you don't anybody's nails.
Anyway.
Secondly, how do you know there's no Jews there? I mean, everybody goes there, you know.
I understand, but the tumor associated with the
nails. It's not tumor. It's over here. It's not a problem to walk on hair. The problem is nails have to do with the chatei tzadas. I mean, in ruchnius. The tzipanaim, the tumah of the tzipanaim, when you cut your nails, you have to wash your hands, and you have to cut your nails because of the tumah that all came about because of chetei tzadas. It says, either in the Medrash or in the Zohar, that before the eight tzadas, the person's whole, Adam Rishon's whole body was covered with nails. With the material of nails as a protection. And then through the eight tzadas, he lost that protection. So the whole concept of nails has to do with the...
It's her fault.
The das. Whatever.
This concept of pregnant woman, no, it's Kabbalistic.
No, the Gemara says only Kabbalistic. Gemara is not Kabbalah.
They probably does not Kabbalah.
No. Gemara is not Kabbalah.
But it's all halacha,
though. It's halacha. It's brought down Shulchan Aruch, this din. And Shulchan Aruch also says, because... The Gemara over here says, it says in Shulchan Aruch that you can cut your nails in a Beis Medrash, where women don't walk.
Nowadays they do walk.
Oh, so nowadays in the shul, where women walk all around the shul, you have to be careful, cut your nails in the shul.
But he was saying, I mean, technically, ask your son.
What?
What's my
question? No, somebody could cut it and walk to the other room in the garbage can and throw them out. You know, it's...
To sweep it one time, it'll be okay.
Technically.
Like, it's okay, just to cut it one place and sweep the floor, and then it should be okay.
Yeah, but the customs, either you bury them down the toilet, or you burn them, or whatever.
Okay. So if you flush them down the toilet, are you a tzaddik, or the only...
No, if flushing is burying them.
Oh, yeah?
So you're a tzaddik, not a chassid. A chassid is one that burns them.
And the barbecue. You put them in the tin foil.
Light it on.
And then
in the whole Shaila, even about cutting nails on Chol HaMoed. Most Poskim hold you can't cut nails Chol HaMoed, unless the only time today in Halacha the Poskim write, if you cut your nails before Yom Tov, then you can cut them Chol HaMoed. But if you didn't cut them before, then you shouldn't cut them Chol HaMoed.
And the chassid burns it because he's afraid that it's going to be...
It's still going to exist, right. But he's so concerned, he wants to get rid of the entity of it. He wants to get rid of it. Now the Gemara goes into cutting mustaches.